You know what's going on?
I think I do. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And this is Margaret Gray and General Gideon Shaw's here with us, General.
Oh, yes. I was just looking at this news about glitter beards. And we're going to have on that Ed Elcott. What is the stink? Did you do it again?
God damn it, bud.
No, I did not.
Then what's the stench? Is that the garbage can?
That may be the garbage can, or it may be a carton of milk in there, but I did not finish.
Well, I told you, don't you know that milk tends to spoil, and it begins to stink like the inside of someone's...
The inside of your lunchbox, man, is what it is. Welcome to the program, folks. The Phil Henry Show on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. We have Dr. Ed Elcott on, who's going to talk about the latest craze, although this is something that he feels has been appropriated from Elcott, the next step, the glitter beard.
Is that guy coming on here? No, tell me that that's not going to happen.
Hey, General, yes, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, and you'll have a pagan ritual out here. Is that my understanding?
No, excuse me, General, I have to say something, all right?
No, is that going to be the status quo around here, a pagan celebration?
General, let me say something, if I might. Dr. Ed Elcott is one who is a very profound teacher of life lessons, and the glitter beard, I don't know.
Yeah, the glitter beard is exactly that, I don't know.
It represents, Bud, you talked to him, did you?
Yeah, but I did. It didn't make no sense.
I talked to him, too.
What did he say, Robert?
I don't know.
He said he didn't know?
No, I don't know what he said. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Well, these two knuckleheads, they wouldn't understand it if you gave them a nickel and said, go get a gov ball. That's what I say?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
You don't know what it means when someone says, here's a nickel, go get a gumball.
No, I don't.
It means go get a gumball out of a gumball machine.
What's that?
You know what? I
So you guys have never seen a gumball? Bullshit.
Right. Hold on. Have you ever seen a gumball machine?
I do like a gum machine.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing, man. A little round thing.
Yeah, put a nickel in it, and well, you're supposed to put a quarter.
Yeah, most of the time you're supposed to put a quarter.
Okay, great. Then put a quarter in and go get a gumball. No, don't go get a gumball. I don't want a gumball. Welcome to the show. This is the glorious bastard himself, Phil Henry, as I was described once by one of our longtime listeners. And I kind of like that. Like it a lot.
All right, wait. What is this? The glorious bastard?
Yes, the glorious bastard, Phil. But I'd like you to introduce me as that.
Here is the glorious bastard, Mr. Phil Henry.
Thank you.
Yay! Isn't that wonderful? What a dumb name.
Thank you, but it's going to be my nickname from hither on out. All right, we got Chef Carl Cedilli is going to be with us here today, and he will be at Ted's of Beverly Hills. There is an interesting phenomenon. By the way, if you have Phil TV in HD, and you probably don't, but if you do, I shouldn't say you probably don't. I don't know who does and who doesn't, but there are pictures of Glitterbeard guys there. These guys look like every kind of, you know.
Well, you look, what are you trying to pull anyway, Henry? This is obviously something that is done in the gay community. I doubt seriously.
No, it's what it is what it is, man.
What does that mean, it is what it is?
Well, it is what it is, General. It is, you know. Look at this, what it is, you know.
No, I don't know what it is. I've heard of, oh, God.
Yeah, that's... You know, that I think that is the gay community. Nothing against that, but this dude's definitely going further out onto a limb than I think a straight guy would. He's got on pink hair, black lipstick, and his name is Michelle. And anyway...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. All right, so we're going to... So to kick off, not the glitter beard thing, because that's going to be Dr. Ed Elcott, but to kick off what's happening over Ted's of Beverly Hills over this holiday weekend, we do want to talk to our good, close, personal friend, Ted Bell. And we also, of course, wait a minute, man.
It's too late now. We're fully into it.
Hey, Philly, everybody come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills here. We are open today. We're going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. And why are we open on Thanksgiving Day? Because we are going to be serving turkey to the homeless at Ted's of Beverly Hills here in Beverly Hills, California. And we have, I'll tell you right now, we have Chef Carl Cedilli, who is in the midst of preparing it. Is now, are you sitting down now, Chef Cedilli?
I am putting a traditional, from a traditional, yeah.
And this is a very traditional and wonderful moment, I think, for any of us, where we can sit and watch as Chef Cadelia, eat turkey dinner, and he will be eating turkey dinner between now and I believe it's 8 o'clock tomorrow night here in Denver, Beverly Hills. So come down and have a turkey dinner if you want, if you can afford it, and I don't mean that in a very bad way. I mean if you can afford it, because obviously we are a cut above, we're a high-end restaurant, but if you can afford it, please do come down to Denver, Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell.
All right, let me ask you, hold on, Ted, this is General Shaw.
Yeah, hold on, is Mr. Henry there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm sorry, Ted, but I knew that there were a lot of...
Yeah, there are a lot of questions to be asked here, Ted.
All right, that's fine. Well, you guys, please tell me that you're not going to start breaking my chops.
No, wait, I just want to... why would I be breaking your chops?
All right, do you want to do this dance, or do you want to come straight out?
All right, I'll do the straight out. You know, obviously we're going to have questions that may not be the most flattering, okay?
There you go. That's the baby. I knew it. What are we talking about? I'll handle it, Chef. I knew you guys... Well, let me have a phone. Come on.
Mr. Henry and Chef Cadelia, listen, if you think you're going to sit here and break my balls, and excuse my language...
Give me that. Would you sit down and eat? Just eat. This is a way of billboarding the excellent cuisine here at Tangent Beverly Hills. Obviously, people are not going to sit down and eat. They're going to watch him eat and then go home and eat as good a Thanksgiving dinner as they can have, knowing that they saw Chodilia eating the Thanksgiving, so you don't get it.
No, of course I don't get it. That's why I'd like you to...
No, not of course, because right away that becomes a negative. And everybody that's listening to you right now, excuse me for just a minute. Everyone listening right now, my name is Ted Bell. Well, you know who I am. Chef Cadelia is down here at Tangent Beverly Hills. If you come down right now, you get yourself seated, get yourself comfortable, and you're going to watch a guy sit down and tear into a turkey. How is it? Let me go over and talk to Chef Cadelia right now. How's it tasting?
Ted, it's fantastic. We stayed up until about 11 o'clock last night. And
boy, it sounds like you're enjoying it.
Oh, I really am.
Hold on for a minute. He's having a hard time breathing.
All right. So that's going to be a real big promo there. A guy that can barely breathe, he's eating so much turkey.
I can hear you laughing.
Wait. I want to jump in here. This is, to my way of thinking, I'm sorry.
Boy, Margaret, you sounded fresh this morning. This is... Wow.
I'm going to say this. This, to my way of thinking, is not a very good sell, because if a man is eating his turkey dinner there at Ted's in Beverly Hills and cannot breathe, there's a problem.
Yeah, right there. See, that's what I think is going to turn people off.
No, it's not turning anyone off. What it's basically saying is the following. This man's food is so delicious, and you can hear that he's got lots of fat. Not fat, because I would say that Chef Cadelia is... you all right?
I never wasn't all right. I'm fine. You know, I needed to clear my throat because there was extra stuff in it.
This is a guy whose food is so good, you can't wait to tear into... Well, you're not going to... You can sit down here at Ted's in Beverly Hills, or you can go home and eat your turkey dinner. What we'd prefer people to do is to sit down here and have their turkey dinner. So before you're allowed to sit down, you are taken past our display, which is Chef Cadelia sitting at a table, and he's eating, and we'll continue to eat. And there's, you know, really not anything you can do about that. Other than to just sit there and stare at him doing that or you could go in and sit down and order dinner, you know. All right, so we'll be here until 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Bill.
All right, so can I...
No, you may not. No, you can't. All right, everybody, come on out to Ted's in Beverly Hills. No, you can't, Phil. You can't ask any questions in case those of you out there were listening and thinking Phil was going to ask some more questions. No, he can't. I'm Ted Bell at Beverly Hills.
I'm Chef Carl
Cadelia. Oh, you got food on the phone. You got food on the phone. Hey.
All right, thank you.
Keep the line open.
Why would I want you to keep the line open? That's so that's Chef Carl Cadelia, along with Ted Bell.
Now,
that's quite the promo. I don't know whether it's going to be promoting people eating dinner there at Ted's in Beverly Hills or people leaving and never coming back. That's really what I think is going on there.
Well, I mean...
Don't you think that would whet your appetite?
That wouldn't whet my appetite. No, Robert, that wouldn't cause me to do anything other than want to run and really to heave my guts up into the very first garbage can that I find. And knowing Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you go out the front door...
Sorry, Margaret, we know where the garbage cans are at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, the audience does not...
Who cares? They're not going to go over there. Gee, let me go and eat Ted's. Let me go and eat Ted. Not eat Ted.
Let me go and eat at Ted's.
Yeah, let me go and eat at Ted's. And then I'll want to puke if I go by the...
General, you're taking longer to explain what it is that you want to say than it took for Ted to do that whole assholic spiel of his, okay?
Wow, get a load of this guy.
Yeah, Mr. Terry, that's kind of bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Not bad at all. All right, that was about as dumb a thing as I've ever heard in my life. And I'll tell you something else. When you get a guy on there who's going to be... What is that? What the hell was that, bud?
Ted just called in. He wants back on.
Ted just called and he wants back on, yeah.
Yeah, Bill, let me explain a couple of facts of life to you. First of all, this is my commercial, all right? I buy the time. To say that people will come in here and watch Chef Chedilia eating and then want to puke the gut up, or puke up more than just one gut, puke their guts up, is to be insulting beyond belief. Chef Chedilia right there is donating his to Will. He's not donating, I'm paying him. To be here.
I'm having a turkey dinner. A lot of people are coming in here. I'm having a ton of if you are trying to insult or otherwise inflame...
I'm not trying to... What the hell's going on?
I'm all done talking, thank you. Come on in, ladies and gentlemen, here to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and have yourself a turkey dinner after you watch Chef Chedilia eating. It will whet your appetite. It will get you ready for a big, fat turkey dinner as you watch this big, fat guy, and I say that with great love. Thank you. Having his turkey dinner, Ted Bell.
All right, Ted, the... So he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Well, see, this is the control you have over this program. So,
I think that what it is, Phil, it's a promotion for Ted's restaurant.
I know it's a promotion for Ted's restaurant. I get that, okay? I'm just simply saying that as a promotion for Ted's restaurant, why did we have him back on?
I've got some questions, whether you have any or not. I've got a lot of questions, and one of them is what Margaret said. Watching that fat slob...
Watching Chef Chedilia eating, Phil, is enough to make me want to go, as I said, to leave the restaurant and heave the gut up.
Yeah, you want to heave up the gut?
What is this heave up the gut?
God, bite me, just one gut.
No, we're going to start out with one gut, but if you heave up your gut... All right, get out of here, will you? So what's the story?
It will make me want to go outside of the restaurant and heave the gut. And I don't want to do that, all right? And from a lot of people... What the...
Just call back. What do you want me to do?
What is it with this thing? So we got to play the jingle every time he calls back? Bud, do we have to play the jingle?
Now, the contract clearly calls for when the jingle is played. Phil, no one is going to be heaving a gut up when they leave my restaurant after seeing Chedilia eat. After you see Chedilia eat, you'll want some more.
I can't talk. Don't talk. Just eat.
All right, Ted, I guess he's gone, right?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he's out all right.
What does that mean? Out cold? Oh, fuck. He's going to want to call back on that one. I'm absolutely... If you say that Ted Bell is out cold, he considers that to be a... Yeah, there he is. There.
Yes!
If that guy calls back one more time, he ain't going back on the air, okay?
What?
I said if he calls back one more time, he ain't coming back on the...
Hi, everybody. Ted Bell here. Mr. Henry just said that he put me out cold. You heard it. You heard it here. It's a threat. Chef?
I did hear it. There's a lot of food in my mouth, but one thing there isn't no food in, my ears. Oh.
Okay, Phil? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Now you want to talk, huh?
No, I don't. Thanks.
By the way, there's Adele.
Oh, look at Adele. She's Hello with Jimmy Fallon, The Roots and Classroom Instruments. Isn't that cute? That is just what I love about Jimmy Fallon is the cuteness of him, you know?
Now, that guy Fallon, boy, oh, boy.
What is that?
I don't, you know, he tries to pull the cute act a little too much, and I want to cuff him around.
Yeah, pretty much.
What does that mean?
I'd like to know that, too.
You know, just the very reason why you like him.
I saw him doing the little cute song there with Adele, and she's lovely. She gives a lot of larger women up.
Let's not do any fat jokes. We just did.
I didn't say fat, did I?
No, but Adele, should I bet?
Yeah, as long as she wears black. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Well, you filthy little...
Hey, come on.
I think she is lovely. I think she's got a wonderful voice. And when she did the cute little thing there with Jimmy Fallon, using classroom instruments and the band The Roots, and everyone following along with Jimmy's ill-conceived idea, I think it shows guts, it shows gumption.
Wait, let me, I just want to back up a little bit of what you just said.
What is that?
You said, on Jimmy's ill-conceived idea.
Yeah. Would explain that.
I said that I think she shows great creativity. Oh, there's the glitter beard, General.
What a couple of real fairies. All right, let's watch that shit. Now, I'm telling you right now, this is something that I'm not anti-gay, and I'm not phobic, and of the thing, no, called homophobic. All right, I'm not homophobic. But obviously, this is a trend among gay men
Not transgender.
Yeah, is that what it is, Phil?
I don't. What do you mean, is that what it is, Phil? Transgender, transsex. How about, like, just transvestites?
Jesus H. Christ. So that's what it is, huh? That's the one word my generation understands. All right, wait.
Let's stick to Jimmy Fallon, if you don't mind.
Well, you don't want to stick to the glitter beard.
Stick to the glitter beard.
We got Ed Elcott coming up in a few minutes.
All right, I'll make the point. I thought she showed great gamesmanship.
Slow down.
I thought she showed she's a good sport. Following Jimmy, and I'm sure someone from the staff said, now, Adele, when you come on the program, Jimmy does a thing. It's really funny. It's called Let's Play with the Musical Instruments and Look Real Cute Staring into the Camera. So would you sing? And then Jimmy will, and she said, do I have to? And they said, pretty much, yes, you do. And she said, well, all right. And so forth.
And to me, it's goofball way off the charts.
All right, so it was Adele singing to...
Adele was there, and she was singing this little song. Now, if you look at Jimmy Fallon's face as they do the song, it's cute, and he's got the cutesy poo. He's a cute little man, and you want to pick him up and cuddle him, and then do what you might want to do with a baby. And I'm not saying that this is true of all in all instances, but you pick him up, you cuddle him, you hold him away from you, you look at him, and the instinct is to smother him. Isn't that something?
Good Christ on a crutch. Are you saying...
God damn!
Margaret.
No, hold on for a minute. Did I say I'd do it? The instinct is to smother him with a pillow. But no, I didn't. Nor would I.
You didn't because you never had the chance.
Wouldn't you like to know?
No, I don't want to. Thank you. All right, coming back, we have Dr. Ed Elcott, and then we also have, as you like to hear them, Donald Trump.
Holy shit, this ought to be good.
Well, no, it'll be a very respectful interview with Donald Trump on As You Like to Hear Them here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And you may think, oh, Jesus, how did Phil get Donald Trump? I can tell you this much. It's not that hard because Mr. Trump is a man who wants to promote as much as he possibly can his candidacy. And so as such, he's willing to go on lots and lots of things, you know. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We had some wind overnight. Man, it was windy, but it all calmed down. I thought we were going to have to deal with the same.
Yeah, it's pretty windy.
You got water there in the background.
We do. It's Dr. Ed Elcott from the Ark of the Novitiate, where we will be on Friday. Dr. Elcott, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Phil. It's wonderful to be with you.
And you keeping warm?
We're keeping warm here in Southern California, where the temperature is not above 50 degrees.
And, Dr. Elcott, so you're having yourself a splash in the tub?
This is not a splash in the tub. This is a semi-religious rite. This is when we open the pores of the interior life, and we let the poisons flow out, not just the poisons that exist in... Why is it windy out here? Oh, that's right, I'm outside having a bath. These are not just the poisons that exist within us.
Wait, you're having a bath outside?
I'm in a veranda area, yes.
Yeah, you were just saying it was cold.
It's butt cold. It's cold as all get out. Let me have the more of the bath salts, please.
Yes.
And put some hot water in. More hot water, please. More hot water. Thank you. I can tell you, Phil, that the way that we do this, and it is a very interesting way. Oh, there you go. Wait.
I'm sorry.
You don't know where the hot and cold tap is? What we do is we open the pores, and the pores then let the poison of the inner life out, and the glory of the exterior life begins to flood in.
Now, the glitter beards that we are seeing so much of...
Yes, yes.
That irritates you.
Yeah, it certainly does irritate me. I want more hot water. I don't know how many times I got to look at you and ask for it. Thank you. We have one of our novitiates here, Phil. He attends to me and in my bath area.
You've got an attendant there, huh?
Yes, I do, General Shaw. And no, it has nothing to do with any erotica, male erotica, or homoerotica.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, but your mind was... So what the glitter beard represents is an obvious frivolous use of a sacramental... This is a sacramental step that we take. This means, Phil, that in our religion here, Elcott, the next step, we glitterize the beard because we want to be presentable for our next move up the ladder, and that's a Scientology phrase. We originally used that, and I got some people from Scientology who said, what are you using this ladder thing? And I said, well, that's the way it's going to be. And so we brokered an agreement. We get to use it, but we won't say anything about the bridge of the rainbow bridge or any of that bullshit.
Boy, you guys are really in business, aren't you?
What is it? Why am I only speaking to him?
All right, I'm talking to Dr. Ed Elcott about glitter beard. Let's forget about whether you're having a beef with Scientology, okay? Let's talk about you and the glitter beard. What does it represent in your religion?
The glitter beard in my religion, the Elcott the Next Step religion, is one of profound, profound symbolism. What we do here... Yeah, baby, that's got it done.
I thought you might like that.
What we do...
Can we not hear the tub running? Is that...
All right, knock it off. Knock it off. Bug out. Just bug out.
Bug out.
I'll call for you when I need you. The glitter beard, Phil, represents... We glitterize as we move up the ladder. And once we are arriving at the ladder, and once we therefore then move into the level... I don't know what it means. All I can tell you is we do use the glitterized beard, and it is something we ask all of our novitiate, initiate, and our priesterlies. We walk around wearing glitter in our beards. And the fact that they're making a joke out of it, what the fuck?
I thought you might want some.
Turn it off. It's boiling hot. So
in other words, you just don't want anybody glitterizing their beards.
No, we don't, because we walk around on Sundays, every last one of us, for the last 15 years, with that stuff in our faces. And
you don't know what it represents. What if you don't know what it represents, then what in the name of Jesus? What's the beef?
The beef is that when people see people with glitter in their beard, they turn around and they say, well, isn't that Elcott the next step? Will you turn that gun?
I'm sorry, you look cold.
What is it with you anyway, okay? I'm not cold.
I'll just go out and I'll fold up your pajamas.
Thank you. What is your name, by the way? That's Cliff. Cliff is one of the attendants.
That is Cliff.
That's what I said, and I don't stutter.
You don't think so?
Boy, that hurts.
All right, so Elcott, the next step, does glitterize its beard, but it's got nothing to do with anything.
No. Other than the fact that I don't like seeing a lot of guys who may or may not be working on walking the other side of the street in life.
I beg your pardon.
That may be walking the other... Actually, that felt good. Turn that back on. Turn it back on.
I'm over here folding in pajamas.
Turn it back on! Oh, man. This is bullshit, man. Having to sit here like some kind of a...
All right, Ed. So, Dr. Ed Elcott,
but
that didn't mean jack shit. All right, we got Donald Trump coming up next.
Yes, Donald Trump, as you like to hear, Donald Trump next on the Phil Henry Show.
Woo! Unstoppable, unpoppable thought bubbles, untoppable thoughts, fucking juggernaut, man. Stomp you in the verse, obstacles, I'm trouble. I don't like.
people looking at me and making...
Well, look at this cop from, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but that cop from the Chicago situation looks about as just like nothing going on in that face.
Well, he may very well be stunned.
Yeah, he could be stunned, but they had that guy... I don't know how bright he is either, but that's about the dumbest looking kisser I've ever seen in a guy. And on top of everything else, I'm not saying he's dumb. He looks like he may, you know, be the classic psychopath.
Dumbest ever, everybody's a psychopath in your book.
Yeah, ever since you read that book.
Read what book?
Well, it is true, Phil. You think everyone's a psychopath.
I'm just telling you, if not everyone, no. But if you look at a guy and he's got the blank kisser and he's got nothing behind the eyes and he looks like he's just staring like two dead eyes staring out at you, there might be something to, they ought to give that guy, they ought to run these guys through one of those psychopath tests, you know?
Well, what is that?
You can wire the guys, but you can do imaging, okay? Not wire them up. You can do imaging of the brain. And you can see how the areas of the brain that reflect emotion and whether or not you can actually feel emotion, you see what happens there when you show the test subject pictures of extremely emotional scenes.
Like what? Yeah, well, like what, are you showing a picture of a guy getting run over?
Sometimes, yeah. So sometimes you'll show pictures of a puppy dog, then they'll show them a picture of somebody who's been, you know, killed. Then they'll just show kind of benign things that may not elicit that much of a reaction. But among people who have a conscience, people who actually have emotional life, when you show a picture of, say, an injured child, there's reaction. You can see it right there in the imaging that's being done with this MRI or whatever it is. You can see the that part of the brain have, it heats up. There's a reaction going on. Among psychopaths, nothing happens.
Now, you're showing a picture to someone of an injured child and you're saying nothing happens.
Now, this is the part of the brain that registers emotion.
Yes, yes. And psychopaths, that's something they can't hide, see? You can do some of the greatest people when it comes to, what do you want to call it? When it comes to beating a lie detector.
Yeah, psychopaths will do it all the time.
Psychopaths can beat a lie detector all the time. They don't even have to try. They can just sit there, stare you in the eye, and lie. And they'll pass the lie detector test with flying colors, and their ass is, you know, on to the next job. So that's because they have no reaction. But with looking at this, using this imaging of the brain, you can see how the brain reacts and how the brain is react to these pictures. So it's pretty interesting.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at the guy. You say he's a psychopath. To me, he looks like a meathead. You know? I'm telling you, the guy looks like a full-on, I mean, fully cured, you know, like, what do they do with a ham?
Like the honey-baked ham.
Yeah. He looks like a honey-baked jackpot. Not a honey-baked jackpot.
Well, all right. I mean, he could be, but stupid doesn't necessarily mean murderer.
No, it doesn't mean murderer, but it means stupid, which means you're supposed to tell the guy to, you know, to slow down.
And what do you do, forget?
I don't know if he forgot, but maybe sit up. Hey, you, put your hands in the air. Wait a minute. Do I say put your hands in the air first? Or do I say, I don't know.
That's right. I forgot to tell him to put his hands in the air. I shot first. Now put your hands in the air.
Don't make a big thing out of it.
All right. Well, whatever you say there, General. So that's, as I said, that's just how that works. And, you know, there's all kinds of shit when it comes to these, when it comes to these considerations. All right, folks, it's time now, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, for a little thing that we call... As you like to hear them this morning, it's presidential contender Donald Trump, and excited to have you with us, sir.
Thank you.
And I would want to ask you, first of all, sir, about some of these comments that you made. Maybe not comments, some of the tweets that you made.
Oh, geez. This tweet thing is... You understand I retweeted. I didn't tweet it originally.
No, I know. But you understand, sir, that when you retweet something, you're essentially saying, hey, I agree with this?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. You may be saying, for instance, well, listen, I'm tweeting this, and I'd like you to use your own judgment on this. And, you know, and maybe I believe it, maybe I don't.
Sir, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm good, Miss. I'm very good, Miss Grimms. It came out sounding, I be good. I'm very good.
No, I understand it's very early in the morning, and you're probably just waking up.
Yeah.
Sir, when you say that you don't necessarily agree, you're just tweeting it out, isn't that really, aren't you really obfuscating the issue here? Aren't you kind of dodging it?
Yes, I am. Very much so.
All right, so in other words, when you tweeted that most white people are murdered by blacks, You knew that that wasn't true?
No, I think it is true. And that's why I retweeted it. But then I subsequently found out that it isn't true after I tweeted it.
Now let me ask you, sir, there's nothing wrong with this, but it seems like...
No, there's a lot wrong with not being aware of things. I'm running for president. I'm talking to a guy.
Hey, sir, talk to me, please.
I'm sorry. No, there is a lot wrong with a presidential candidate not understanding certain basic statistics like murder rates and the demographics involved. But I thought when I tweeted that it was true.
All right. And can I ask you something? Why did you pick that statistic to tweet?
Because it had been tweeted out by some ass that, excuse me for saying that, but I'd just been on a radio show, and I was trying to give the guy a little plug-a-roo. And so...
Yeah, but no, hold on for a minute.
Can I finish?
No, hold on. Why did you tweet that? I know that it was tweeted by the show, but you didn't understand whether it was true or not?
I figured it was true. Phil, you got to understand something. I'm running for president of the United States. At one time, and I still am, a businessman. And I only know business. Social issues, demographics, the causes of crime, the relative prosperity or non-prosperity of different ethnic groups in America. I don't know anything about this. My father, as you know, got involved in a controversy having to do with housing. A civil rights beef was filed against him. My family doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to civil rights and understanding social issues. So here I am now. I'm running for president. As far as I'm concerned, there's only one issue. Maybe two. Immigration and getting ourselves back on track economically. Now I find out that there's all kinds of other things that I got to understand. Crime, I got to understand people, I got to understand, you know.
Well, didn't you think that this was going to be important?
I knew it was going to be important, but with my ability to, excuse me for saying this, bullshit.
Well, now we're getting to it.
Yes, this is what a lot of people say about you, that you're really good at sort of dancing around these things with the way that you talk.
Well, all right. I mean, you can say what you want, but I am.
Yeah, but now you're getting called on it by the press, and the way you're reacting is you're kind of digging your heels in.
Well, I don't know what else to do. When some guy says to me, you just tweeted a blatantly racist thing, which has no foundation in truth, what am I supposed to do? Say that if I apologize, people are going to say he's a moron. But if I, you know, dig my heels in, then people will say, wow, he really believes that. And then maybe there's some truth to it.
Yeah, who's this spokesman you have?
That's my attorney, Mr. Cohen.
All right. Now, he's the guy that said yesterday, hey, it's most likely true.
Right.
Okay. Does he believe that?
I don't know. I've told him, at all costs, you back me up. You don't. You're in the street. You understand that?
All right, so you've threatened him with his job if he doesn't just make you look good, even to the exclusion of truth.
Absolutely. I said to him, you back me up. I don't care if it's a lie. You back me up. Otherwise, the street. That's where you're going to be. See your briefcase? See you? I had him stand in front of a mirror, this guy Cohen, and he said, yes, sir. I said, now imagine yourself laying in pavement and that thing, that briefcase, about 200 yards away from you, open with all of the papers laying all over the place. And he said, well, most of it is stuff that is relative to you, so I wouldn't care. And I said, boy, that's a really bad answer. He said, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to say that. And I said, okay, let's do this again.
Yes, we understand.
Hold on, I'm just trying to let you know my relationship with, you know, my employees.
All right, but you got this guy scared to death, and so he's going to say what he's going to say.
Exactly. Now, when it came to that tweet, I said, all right, what happened? And somebody said that was a neo-Nazi thing, and I said, holy Christ. I said, I tell you what, let's go ahead and stick with it, because many of the people that follow me are going to, you know, I mean, they're...
Well, here's where we get to the real, as my father used to say, the nut-cutting.
Oh, your father used to say that, and he had a daughter? And he said that in front of her, huh?
Excuse me, Mr. Trump, but my father was a very a good man.
Well, that's not what I heard you say before.
All right, he was a good man most of the time. The point is, let's get to the point, and this is it. I forget what I was going to say.
All right, I'll say it.
Yeah, see, this is what I do. I'm able to just kind of blah, 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 blah. You guys forget what you're going to say.
Well, I haven't forgotten what I was going to say. So you tweet out this racist thing about fuck. All right, let's move on then to issue number two, which is the thousands of Muslims.
Right.
Okay. Did you actually see thousands of Muslims cheering and having fun on 9/11?
I don't know if I did or not. I most likely am thinking of something else, and it mixed in my memory into thousands of Muslims there on the shore of New Jersey.
All right, so you're not sure whether you saw it or not?
No, not at all.
Now, knowing that the police say it didn't happen...
Well, what police are we talking about?
The New York City police, Jersey police, they said it didn't happen. knowing that there is no actual physical record of it, that is the actual reporting of it.
Well, there was a report now. Hold on. There was a report in Patterson.
No, right. But it was a report by the police of some Muslims, not thousands and thousands, as you said.
All right. But in my mind, what happened was, is I reported that I saw thousands, and the people that follow me, that's the only thing. It's important for the people that follow me to believe me. Now, here's what happened. I said there were thousands, and then they said, no, there wasn't. And I asked my people, because I just did a rally this morning, and they said, yeah, there was. And there's millions of people on Twitter that said, yeah, there was. I saw thousands, too. And so now it's true. Now it's true. And this is something that, thank Christ, otherwise I'd look...
Yeah, you'd look like a real asshole if the truth were really actually understood by the people that follow you, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I've said that we need a Muslim database. I think we ought to bring back waterboarding. There's a lot of things. And now Cruz is breathing down my neck, in Iowa anyway. And I'm going to have to find a way to negate this guy, because Cruz is an oily, oily guy. He's probably even more... he probably has an even more casual relationship with the truth than I do. He's oily, he's slippery, he's greasy.
Yeah, well, okay, but maybe that's good when you guys get together after a...
Hey, look, General, I know you don't like me, okay?
I don't like any guy that lies the way you do.
I gotta become President of the United States. How else do you get there? Oh!
Well, ain't that something. Donald Trump, as you like to hear him...
That's not the way I want to hear him.
As you'd like to hear, why not? That's, you basically got the truth out of him. On a world-famous Phil Hendry show, I can imagine Donald Trump reviewed this bit. What would you
say? Probably say, well, he's a very interesting guy. He's a real loser. He's a real loser.
Yeah. Now, here's a guy that came out with his hair. Boy, all of these people on the Today Show look very disapprovingly at...
Oh, no, they're not looking disapprovingly at Donald Trump. They're talking about E. coli linked to a Costco salad. And the co-host of the Today Show, I don't know her name, she looks like she's probably had herself a real big Costco salad, and it's all she can do to remain on set.
Get away, Chuck!
Don't say it, but it does look as if she's shifting in her seat uncomfortably.
All right, well, that's about all the damage that should be done today. By the way, there's a... There's a picture of a little baby in a manger there. Did you see that?
Yeah, there's a newborn baby abandoned in a manger. What do you think they're calling it?
Bob.
No. What do you mean, Bob? Baby Jesus.
That's blasphemy.
No, it's not. It's a cute little nickname. A cute little nickname.
Yeah, well, that's what she said.
What?
Yeah, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. This day, I'm telling you.
See you later, folks. Thanks for hanging in with us.